Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. I know you probably've got plenty of thoughts on The Last Dance. Very excited to talk to you, Matt, about both of those episodes. But we've got some more pressing news. We got the ultimate Woj bomb last night after being kind of content with what I saw in the episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance, and just being able to sit back and kind of read through everybody's tweets and stories and everything. I'm like, this has been good. This has been a good end to the weekend. The NFL draft came to an end, so people were excited about that. And then we get a late night Woj bomb announcing that the Bulls have found their new GM. Matt, I know you sent me a text like right away, right when it happened, as we were kind of flurrying through tweets. And I told you, I was producing Les Grobstein's show last night, and I was like, I thought Les was having a senior moment at one point. I was like, are you sure the Bulls hired a new GM? And then sure enough, I'm going and racing to the computer and looking. Sure enough, Mark Eversley, the new Bulls GM. How are you, Matt, though? How was your weekend?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing well. Since the last time we talked, I know we pre-recorded some episodes at the end of last week, and then redropped our fun interview with Zach Gilford from back in the day. Been talking to him. Bringing him back on is in the works because we wanted to get his thoughts on this Last Dance. So since we talked, I came back to Chicago after a month of laying low up in the northern woods of Michigan. So happy to be back home in Chicago. Seems like here, you know, people are doing well, doing a good job of staying home, maintaining that distance. And, you know, obviously we all have a great reason to stay inside with this documentary and also this this big front office news. I kind of with you, like I got the Woj alert, and I kind of, you know, it just looked like something generic at first with like the way he phrased the tweet. So I kind of swiped at it, and I was like, that did say something about something front office-y, and I think I may have seen the name Eversley. So I'm going to go back and check that just to be sure. And sure enough, there it was. It's like, oh, Mark Eversley has agreed to become the next Bulls GM. I was like, really? 12:15 a.m. on a Sunday night? I think it's funny, though, that the Bulls are just making headlines in every which way in a time when, like, dude, there's a global pandemic. Sports are on a indefinite pause, and usually the Bulls shy away from headlines, and right now they're just making tons of them.
It's a good way to kick start a facelift for the organization, whether it is having to bring up some of those old memories, and we'll definitely talk about that. The Last Dance episode, so Matt and I have decided that we're going to drop two episodes today. So as you're hearing this, you're probably seeing two episodes in your feed. So this is going to all be about Mark Eversley, the hiring, current Bulls days stuff. If you want to listen to us kind of break down episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance, you can skip ahead or listen to this all the way through, which we highly encourage you do. And then take a listen to The Last Dance episode where we talk about episodes 3 and 4. We did this last week on Monday, too. We did episodes 1 and 2. So if you want to go back and listen to that, maybe you're just catching up, you can go back and listen to that. We spent like 45 minutes to an hour on that. So that was really, really good. So very excited for you guys to hear that as well. But Mark Eversley, man, this was one of the names we talked about a little bit over the last couple of weeks, and I'm actually very excited. I did some basic research. The important thing I found out about Mark Eversley is there isn't a whole lot out there on him, or there isn't a ton out there of him, like, speaking, talking openly in public, a ton about his background. Very sort of reserved guy, it seems like, just from a snapshot, but has a ton of experience in the NBA and a ton of experience with big companies. Most notably, he started with Nike. I can appreciate a guy that started as a retail manager of a store and worked his way all the way up to be one of the most important connections the NBA had to Nike and its players. And then obviously crossed over in 2006 to the NBA with the Raptors, spent a lot of years there, spent some time in Washington as well, and then eventually made his way to Philadelphia with the Sixers. But it seems from all accounts, Matt, that he has great relationships with players, and that's the start of what we really have been asking for the longest time with the GM.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest factor, and you hit the nail on the head. It's about player relationships. Clearly, the Bulls front office in this past regime really struggled in that department. And gee, I wonder why. I wonder what Gar Forman's up to right now.
There are many intangibles.
player relationships, that's huge. And you mentioned, you know, the earlier part of his resume before joining, the ranks of NBA executives. And obviously, you know, he has a depth of experience with scouting and player development, player personnel and all that kind of stuff, which is great for the resume. But the 10 years he spent at Nike that you mentioned, working his way up to being a point person for Nike's basketball player relationship division. Like, what does that say to you? To me, that jumps off the page. Free agency. Being able to talk to the biggest stars in the league and perhaps some of the up-and-coming younger stars in the league and saying, I know how the business side of this works, and I know how the business of branding and the business of NBA work together, because I've been on both sides of the fence and I've seen it and I've seen how it goes down. So that is something that this Bulls front office has not had in a long time. This organization has not had a long time. A little bit of cachet and a little bit of credibility when it comes to actually making players want to come play here, and not just for, wow, gee, it's the Bulls, it's a big market and such a rich history. Because guess what? That pitch hasn't been working for Dick going on 20 years now. So you need something new. You need something fresh. And, like, you know, to state the obvious, it also doesn't hurt that the Bulls picked their first African-American GM in franchise history for a league that is 75-80% black.
For the Bulls, too, it's what? Their fourth change in the front office ever? So this is kind of a historic day in some sense, too. Not only with the AK hiring up a couple weeks ago, but now just the restructuring of the entire front office. Matt, you brought up a good point, though. I was thinking about this, and this is kind of a historic, I guess, this is a historic moment in Bulls history, considering, like you had said, this is the first black GM the Bulls have ever hired in franchise history. You know, I was thinking about something Kendrick Perkins was saying a couple of weeks ago when he was on one of the radio stations talking about the Bulls and just their reputation around the league. And he said, you know, somebody had asked him, how quickly can the Bulls' reputation change in the eyes of the players? How quickly does that happen, even if all these moves are made and people are kind of pushed out the door and new faces are brought in? And he said, depending on who you bring in as your GM, who you bring in as your coach, and who's kind of directing everything, it could happen overnight. And I feel like this is a major step forward for the Bulls. Not only, like you said, 80% of the league is black, hiring your first black GM, and who knows, we may see a black coach on the way as well, or a minority coach on the way as well, and that could help in the eyes of the players and everybody taking a look at the Bulls and saying they're not doing things the way they always did. Maybe we should start to take a look at them.
Well, I mean, come on now. Players love playing for Jim Boylan, don't they? I mean, he is still the head coach of this team, is he not?
He's the only guy to unintentionally isolate two players that didn't have a whole lot of significance on a team or a role in that year. It's just so bizarre, man.
Yeah, I can't remember who, but somebody on Twitter was like, yeah, you think Boylan's set up a Zoom meeting with Mark Eversley yet to welcome him to the organization?
I work for Greg Popovich.
Yeah, oh my goodness. I still saw a lot of Bulls fans late last night and then early this morning saying, well, Boylan's still here. So yeah, okay, Everly is great. Or at least okay, and AK we're excited about, but like when do we get rid of Jim? I still think that's not happening until we get some sort of resolution on this 2019-2020 season. We did get some updates earlier today about teams in cities and states where restrictions are starting to slowly be lifted about the whole pandemic and facilities being shut down. Some of them are starting to prepare to reopen. No earlier than May 8th is what we said, but we still have nothing when it comes to actually discussions on playing games again and potentially finishing the season. So I don't think we'll hear anything about Boylan until then. But going back to Eversley, the one hiccup that I saw a lot of Bulls fans saying, yeah, but when it comes to this hire, was the connection with Colangelo and the fact that the Sixers, as far as development and drafting and scouting, have been, yes, some big hits, but also some pretty gross misses in the tenure that he's been there. And I certainly understand that, but guess what? Every team has hits and misses. There is not a single organization out there that bats 1,000 in the draft, not even close. If you bat 50%, that's like crushing your job when it comes to scouting and getting young talent in the draft. So the other more, I think, legitimate concern would be like just how close the ties are with Colangelo, whose reputation has been completely tarnished. But I think the flip side of that context is it might explain why we heard Colangelo's name when all of a sudden, like in the span of 20 minutes, three different sources rattled off names of three different candidates, and Bulls fans all looked at each other on Twitter and went, really? Like these people? When it was Brian Colangelo, Wes Wilcox, and Danny Ferry. And we were like really? These are the people you're interviewing? Maybe they just brought in Colangelo to get a little bit more intel on Eversley.
That's 100% what it was. And maybe so Reinsdorf could have a conversation with a family friend too. You know, just hang out with somebody during this time. So I think that's 100% what it was though. And we kind of got that answer now, so we don't need to kill the Bulls for meeting with Colangelo specifically about any of this, because most of it probably on the back end, and we'll probably hear more of it too once we get to hear these guys talk a little bit more about that. But the one thing I wanted to ask you, Matt, thinking about all the other candidates out there that the Bulls maybe talked to, names that were floated out there for GM, you feel like Eversley was the better pick out of the handful of candidates that were available? One that we talked about, I think it more in depth last week, was Michael Finley. The other one was Matt Lloyd, who's the assistant GM for Orlando. We even talked about the LA Clippers assistant GM, Mark Hughes. And there's a couple other names too, kind of loosely connected to the job. But in terms of where the Bulls are looking to go and the power that AK has kind of assembled here in the last 2 weeks, you feel like this was the best fit for the Bulls?
I mean, I don't know about best fit. I think it makes the most sense. I think it's the most predictable outcome. Like when I saw the first batch of names, I was like, I'm Eversley's the one I'm pointing to as far as who I think would be good and who I think they will ultimately pick, assuming no amazing candidates get thrown into, throw their hat in the ring later on. And we kind of got a little bit of that element with Finley. When we did learn that the Bulls actually did conduct an interview with him, and it wasn't just Mark Cuban saying, I think he'd be great. Obviously, I think a lot of Bulls fans were excited about the idea of Michael Finley, a Chicago kid, a player that went on to have a great NBA career who the Bulls actually passed on. They opted to take Jason Caffey over Michael Finley. And certainly Finley had a much more fruitful NBA career than Jason Caffey did. But just to have some semblance of Chicago pride attached to the organization without doing the classic, Bulls Rolodex with six names in it thing, because he didn't actually have any ties to the organization, just the city itself. So I understand that Bulls fans thought that Finley would be cool. And he certainly did have some experience on his resume working with the Dallas Mavericks, in his post-retirement years. But I think that Eversley's experience is a little bit more expansive, a little bit more, thoroughbred than what Finley has done so far. And that, to me, is what made it a predictable hire by the Bulls, because they're doing a lot of new crazy shit right now that they haven't done in 17 years. But whether it's Michael or Jerry, there is one thing that I thought they would stay constant with, which is we might be taking some risks here, but let's not go crazy. And to me, Eversley was the sane, logical hire of someone whose resume Michael Reinsdorf could look at and say, okay, you're hired. Finley, I think, was a little bit more of a wild card.
I think the more and more I dig, too, I start to realize that if Reinsdorf couldn't hire a guy that he trusted or that was part of his inner circle, he was going to pluck somebody that basically had a letter of recommendation or multiple letter of recommendations from people inside the Reinsdorf trust tree. And you can see it. I'm reading three. Like, I just flipped through three articles real quick just to get a quote on Eversley. And it all says, all of them somehow tie back to when he was first hired with the Sixers and talking about how instrumental Colangelo was in Eversley's career so far to this date. So you can see why there maybe was a leaning more towards the trusting of Eversley other than some of these other candidates, just because of the connections that are there with the Reinsdorf family as well. Matt, the one thing that I was thinking about too is like the comparison of what you would initially get in Eversley compared to maybe say a guy like Michael Finley. Michael Finley coming in right away would give you a lot of cachet, like you were saying, with the fans, but also with the players too. Highly respected player when he played for a long time. I think that goes a long way with your players right now, today's age. You're going to get somebody that's going to listen to you right away. The only thing that I was worried about was this is the first time he's ever going to be a GM. This is the first time he's going to have to make decisions that are going to come with either positive or negative consequences. Whereas Eversley, to me, like you kind of said, almost felt like it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's more of the safer pick. I do like the fact that he has been heavily engulfed in scouting, player development for the past decade with three different teams. I think that makes me the most confident that Eversley is the guy for the job, and I think maybe that's ultimately what tipped the scales for AK as well.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and as you said, again, it's, you know, maybe the safer pick and the more concrete by the books resume that you would expect for a hire like this, scouting, player development and management in three different ball clubs and a pretty impressive professional career related to the business side of the sports world before joining NBA organizations. Again, mentioning that, you know, that 10-year stint he had with Nike. So I think it's just a more expansive resume. I do also agree with your point that, you know, when as far as Finley, one of the things that he would have had in his favor was the notoriety of a guy who had a great, long, successful NBA career, and by all accounts is one of the most well-liked guys across the league today by his fellow retirees, by current NBA players, and that could go a long way when it goes back to what we were talking about with Eversley and the Nike experience, which is free agent pitching. Because yes, with Eversley, you like the acumen of all of the scouting experience he has, but the other big piece and the Bulls, like if there's one thing that the Paxson Gar regime did well, it is, as I said, bat roughly 50% in the draft. Good for them. They couldn't ever land those big name free agents. And I think Eversley and Finley would have had different things working in their favor to get that part of the job accomplished. And now we'll just have to wait and see what exactly that strategy is. But either way, they will be a whole lot better off with that element of a GM who can attract free agents as opposed to a GM whose stink repels free agents.
It's a good way to put it, honestly. It's a really good way to put it. I want to get to some of these points. Also, too, being made kind of just like leaking out about Mark Eversley and his connections to some players in the past and why I think he will be a good fit. And I also want to talk to you like about his initial relationships here with the players and sort of what his first couple of months are going to look like as the Bulls GM, which is going to be important couple of months in terms of the timeline now of like the new set timeline of this rebuild and kind of where things go and how aggressive or how non-aggressive they get once the offseason officially hits.
And Jordan, before we get to that, just wanted to give a quick shout out to our friends at Postmates. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you watch The Last Dance, sometimes you just need what you need and you need it delivered fast. And that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're still eating your lunch. I love food. I love my Chicago food. That's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant that I can think of in my neighborhood here in Wicker Park and Ukrainian Village right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make my life a lot easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no trips to the store where you got to put on your mask and your gloves and all that in this crazy pandemic world we're living in. No more late night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorites and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our Locked On Bulls listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it.
So real quick, talking about just Mark Eversley and just the new shaped front office, one thing Casey Johnson noted, and this was from about an hour ago from when we were recording this, it says Bulls have yet to officially announce either hire, but Pat Conley is listed as vice president of player personnel and JJ Polk is listed as assistant GM on the staff directory. Polk's title had been previously reported, Conley's hadn't, although his area of focus had. So a little bit more clarity on the roles that each guy are going to play in that front office. But I mean, man, four new guys.
Most importantly, is Scottie Pippen still on the masthead? Is he still listed in the staff directory?
Oh God. Oh, I don't know. That is a good question.
Remember, because like when that podcast dropped and Scottie talked about how he actually, like, they fired him, they still in their staff directory had his name listed along with Horace and Tony Kukoc as, you know, special advisors or whatever to the Reinsdorfs.
I can report to you that he is no longer listed. It's just Tony Kukoc and Horace Grant. So they have
good
updated
job,
that.
You updated your website. Good for you.
Looks like JJ Polk will be sharing the duties as assistant GM. So now there's two assistant GMs, JJ Polk and Steve Weinman. So there's a little bit of change there as well. But yeah, no moves as far as the coaching staff goes for right now. But like you said, I think it goes back to what we talked about last week, is nothing is going to be made final until the season is either back on, we've got a start date, and then you won't hear anything until after the finals probably, or the season right. is officially canceled and the offseason hits. Regardless, I don't think any moves are made till then.
From what I have heard, and I think Casey touched on this in one of his previous reports about the front office structure, is that Steve Weinman, the Bulls have long valued for his expertise with the cap and cap strategy and cap management. So having him as an assistant GM while also officially naming JJ Polk as the assistant GM, and we all know that JJ Polk was brought in for that exact same reason, I would find it surprising if they maintain Steve Weinman to do that job, assuming they are giving AK full autonomy. Because I know that the Reinsdorfs and Paxson all very much valued Steve Weinman for that reason. But if AK was able to poach JJ Polk away from New Orleans to do the same job, you don't need two people to do the same job. What is this, Michael and Jim as co-branch managers? Like, no, you got the one guy to do the job. So maybe if they find something else for Weinman to do, and maybe the Reinsdorfs make a special request to find some other job for him, that AK would just begrudgingly agree to that or whatever. We'll see. But knowing that they brought Polk in for that exact reason makes me think that Steve Weinman all of a sudden is expendable.
So you don't think there's any possibility that the talk of them having multiple people in this front office includes having maybe two assistant GMs? Maybe they let Steve Weinman go find a promotion somewhere else, sort of how they, like you were talking about, they plucked other guys from other teams. Maybe they allow the same request for Steve Weinman if he wants to go interview for other jobs.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. And you know, I do think that the front office is going to get a lot bigger than it was, and their entire managerial team is going to get bigger. Scouting department, player personnel, draft evals, management of contracts and all that kind of stuff. So maybe this is not, you know, two people doing the exact same job, but just bringing in more people. I was just highlighting the fact that, from what I understand, Steve Weinman did the exact same thing and was applauded for his expertise in the same field of cap strategy, which is exactly what they brought in J.J. Polk to do. So, like, you know, do you need two people doing that? Maybe they're going to tag team the job. I don't know. The other thing to point out is that, you know, obviously they brought in Connolly as well from Denver. He's a player personnel guy. I think, you know, maybe AK will, with Pat Connolly, build out a much larger scouting department than what the Bulls had previously had. And then one other detail from Casey's update on this last night was they are still theoretically having a conversation of some kind with brief foreign Bull Nazi Muhammad, who's been with the OKC front office for a few years now, about some other unspecified role in the front office. And maybe that would be just trying to bring a little bit more, you know, relatability and player relationship kind of stuff. Because, you know, you won't find many more well-liked guys around the league than Nazi Muhammad. So I think there will still be many more hires to come.
It's interesting. I hear his name pop up a lot over the last month or so. So it really seems like he wants to get into the business side of basketball, which, I mean, talk about a guy Bulls fans loved from just the perspective of a player. I mean, that's one of probably a top five or top 10 moment, which is sad, probably hearing it from a 26-year-old Bulls fan. Those that are 30, 35, 40 years older or older than me are probably like, damn, one of your top 10 memories as a Bulls fan is Nazi Muhammad pushing LeBron in the playoffs. Like, that is probably a sad thing hearing coming off The Last Dance, but it is, man. So I would be down for it. Hey, the more minds, the more skill sets you can add to this front office is exactly what we've been asking for what, two decades? So it can't come soon enough. The last thing I wanted to touch on, Matt, real quick, was just about some of the criticism, and there hasn't been a whole lot, but there has been a little bit for Mark Eversley, talking about specifically his drafting strategy with the Sixers over the last couple of years. Most notably, a lot of people have been pointing to us, and I'm going to have to go back and listen to his interviews from 2017, that summer, but I guess he was very, very high on Markelle Fultz and got a lot of criticism for how that shook out in Philadelphia. But look, Markelle Fultz is still super young. He's, I think, only 22, and in Orlando, he was set to make bids for comeback player of the year. He had a really good season this year, so I don't know if I would completely give up on Fultz yet, but they kind of criticized how he was handled in Philadelphia and that whole saga before he got traded.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's one of those instances where the Sixers got raked for it, and partly because, you know, the Celtics got the better player and additional assets because they were the team that willingly traded down and the Sixers moved up to get their guy. It's like why Bears fans are even more pissed off, you know, about the uninspired play of Mitch Trubisky so far, is because Ryan Pace traded up to get him. And it turned out, it looks like it's the wrong pick when you see what Mahomes does, when you see what Deshaun Watson does in the league right now. And even Lamar Jackson to that end. So I think it works in a kind of similar way in hindsight, you're looking back on it and evaluating it. But let's not forget that plenty of other teams around the NBA probably would have taken Fultz number one overall as well. Would they have traded up to get him number one? I mean, clearly the Sixers were the team to roll the dice and make that happen. But there was a pretty strong consensus, and it differs year to year and draft class to draft class, but there was a pretty strong consensus that Fultz was number one. Some people had, you know, concerns, mild concerns about his health and his injury history, but I mean, it's hindsight. Like, the Bulls have gotten raked for similar things in the Gar Pax regime. You hit on some, you miss on some. But I mean, that one thing is not something that I would point to and say, oh man, Eversley, you know, we can't trust him. He's going to screw stuff up. Look what he did that one time. It's like, dude, all teams misevaluate and all teams make the mistakes in the drafts. That was a bad one. Can't deny it, but you look forward to the next one and you can try and do better the next time.
Right. And you're not going to go, like you said, you're not going to go to 100%. No GM, no front office is going to go 100% on their draft picks either. I think the one thing to be sort of critical about, and I don't know, depending on what you think the value was coming back for Fultz, which I'm pretty sure was the Tobias Harris trade, wasn't that part of him? Maybe I'm mistaking it. Regardless, the evaluation of Fultz was right at the time. Everybody had him going number one. I mean, maybe a few handful of people here and there had Lonzo going number one over Fultz, but everybody had Fultz going number one, or maybe even some people had Tatum going number one, but I don't even think that at the time either. So the evaluation overall, though, I'm looking at all the draft picks. I really like a lot of the Sixers draft picks and kind of who they picked out and who they've evaluated. A lot of it kind of, and whether you take this negative or positive, Matt, a lot of it kind of mirrors what the Bulls were looking for over the last 2 or 3 years since the rebuild start. Go look at the Sixers picks. A lot of those same guys we talked about as the Bulls' potential picks at their spots are trading back and drafting these guys, a.k.a. Mikal Bridges being one of the guys. Admiral Schofield being a second-round pick we talked a lot about, being an Illinois connection. Bruno Fernando, Carson Edwards, Ty Jerome, these are all guys that seem to fit the mold that the Bulls are looking for, or at least have somewhat of connections rooted with the Bulls. So I can see why the philosophy was to hire Mark Eversley, you know, just looking from draft picks. So if it says anything, he's been able to dig out a lot of diamonds in the rough, aka like Landry Shamet, who they ended up trading to the Clippers, but still to be able to find him at 26, I think that says a lot to me. And he hit on a lot more draft picks over the last 3 years than they missed. And Markelle Fultz, they still even got value for. So I won't be completely critical. And you know, Markelle Fultz's situation with the Sixers was bizarre anyway, too. You know, you had that storyline about the motorcycle accident, supposedly, allegedly, that nobody ever talked about, and the weird injury where he couldn't shoot and couldn't make free throws. So the whole storyline there was bizarre, but I'm very excited for the overall evaluation of Eversley and what he's going to be able to do with this roster.
Yeah, and I think even more so beyond that, the step up is putting our trust in Arturas right now. He's the one who made this hire. You know, I was talking earlier about how the Reinsdorfs as an ownership group have not been known to make risky moves, and that perhaps Michael Reinsdorf and Jerry alike would also be more quick to give the stamp of approval of a guy with a resume like Eversley's. But again, if we are to believe what has been reported, that it was AK's decision and AK's job, the first part of his job, to fill out the front office as he saw fit. So clearly, AK liked Eversley's resume and liked what he thought he could bring to the table. And knowing everything we know about Karnišovas and his resume and the success he has had, I'm going to go ahead and trust him. Like, it's kind of weird putting your blind trust in someone new, other than what we read and what we know about his past, you know, experiences in the league. There is very little Bulls fans have to, you know, attach and relate to AK right now thus far, especially in this weird lockdown time we're in. But we wanted change. We got change. We all looked at the resume of the guy they brought in to run the whole show and said, that's a pretty good guy to pick to run the whole show. So I'm going to put my faith in him. And if he thinks that Eversley is the right guy for this job, then I'm going to believe it.
I'm very excited for it. Very, very, very excited for it. And Matt, it feels like the Bulls only had really one. They were kind of a one-trick pony for a while, and it was being able to bluff and not really have a good bluff either. I mean, their poker face was terrible in trades. They got duped for the longest time, but it now seems like the Bulls have added multiple weapons to their hand in terms of player development, in terms of scouting, in terms of relationships with players. You also added one of the best in terms of regards around the NBA in cap campaign expertise. Yes.
You talking about best guards in the NBA?
Campaign.
And Bulls traits?
Oh my God. So I'm going to have nightmares now for the next week. But adding those weapons, like adding versatile skills that the Bulls haven't had in the front office for God knows how long, adding all of that right away, I think he's going to inject a spirit into this team. God, I sound like Jim Boylan now, but something different. Finally, something different. I really, truly feel like this is going to be a star to a new era, and I'm very excited. So I want to hear from you, though. And we want to hear from you.
A true laying of a growth plate.
Oh, right, my here. God. If Jim Boylan survives this, and maybe we can talk about this in a week or 2 weeks or whatever, things die down. But if Jim Boylan survives this, man, I don't know how Bulls Nation is going to take that.
This is a success plate for me.
So, I don't know, man. You know,
I coach by faith.
Yeah.
I coach by faith.
I fan by faith. And I have faith in the fact that Jim Boylan will be long gone when we hopefully get a 2021 NBA season.
He's nutting up. If I can endure the last minute, the last time out, and coach my team, I think the other team can too.
Oh, man. Gonna miss the timeouts from Jim
Boylan.
Oh,
my God. Speaking of that, real quick before we get out of here, did you see that Ramona Shelburne column about all the different current NBA coaches who have gotten advice and talked to Phil Jackson over the past several years?
Oh, I did not. I missed this. Fill me in.
After getting the Phil Jackson background story in The Last Dance this past episode, Shelburne interviewed a bunch of NBA coaches, including Jim Boylan, who had some great quotes about how he has this great relationship with Phil Jackson. I tweeted a screenshot of some of it, but you should go check it out. It's Ramona Shelburne on ESPN.com with the ESPN app. Yeah, yikes.
Seen that movie?
I'm gonna have to go read that. I'm very excited. Damn, I wish we could get an audio version of those quotes. I can only imagine what it says, but very excited to check that out. But give us your thoughts. Bulls have hired Karnisovas, Polk, Connolly, and now Mark Eversley. It's part of a new reshaping front office. What do you guys think about it? Is there anything that you feel has been a great addition to this Bulls front office over the last couple of weeks? Are there any things you're a little bit worried or concerned with? Are you happy with the hires so far? Whatever you've got for us, hit us up at 331-979-1369. Your texts, your voicemails, save that number in your phone as Locked On Bulls, 331-979-1369. So whenever you're listening to the episodes, if you've got a thought and you want to drop it to us, you can do so there. Texts and voicemails, we'll get to all of those on Wednesday's episode, and I'm sure it's going to be between The Last Dance 3 and 4 and the new hiring. This is going to be yet another great week of voicemails and text messages. So make sure to get yours in if you want to be a part of the show. Want to thank Postmates for sponsoring today's show. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get $100 in delivery credit free for your first 7 days. That's Postmates. Download the Postmates app today. Follow Matt and I on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. But for Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Check out our episode after you're done listening to this of The Last Dance episodes 3 and 4, which is out right now. So a little double episode for you on Monday here today. Other than that, we will talk to you guys on Wednesday. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.